Welcome to Takeoff, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm your host, Travis, and today I'm joined with none other than Matt and Emily.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, y'all can say hi, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, fun people.
How are we doing today?
Oh,
if we seem a little extra punchy today, do we let them know that this is take two of trying to record this?
We absolutely do. Okay.
All right,
we absolutely do. Yeah. This is take two. My internet messed up on our first attempt last week.
Someone forgot to pay the bill.
Oh my goodness. It's on auto pay. We might have had a little connection emergency of our own with my internet.
Hey-o.
Yeah, you like that? I mean, I guess the readers don't know yet. So here's the tie-in. Today, we're talking about how to use your points and miles when things don't go according to plan. Things like missed connections, emergency trips, or just needing a hotel tonight, maybe inclement weather. We'll get into all of that. So I guess it was a curse that we had connection issues last week on an episode where we might be talking about connection issues, but I'd rather have that while trying to record rather than actually in an airport.
Yeah.
But as usual, before we begin, we've got some icebreaker questions, and you really missed it because I didn't use the ones that we have in our outline. So Matt and Emily were slightly panicking a little bit to answer.
No, not us.
Not
we're
y'all.
We're so calm. Calm, cool, and collected.
We're so good off the cuff.
For today's episode icebreaker, we're going to play a little game. Two rounds. The name of the game, because we want to make this PG for, you know, if you're dropping your kids off at school, wherever you're listening, at work. The game is called Marry, Date, Dump. You're going to get three options. You have to pick one to marry, which means you're sticking with it for life. You have to pick one to date, which means you're going to try it once, twice, try the experience, but it's not going to be around forever. You're moving on. And then one to dump. You're banning it from your life forever. So okay. If this sounds like any other type of game that goes by other words, well, that's basically what it is. We're just trying to keep it a little light. So two rounds today. Round one, hotel programs. So you've got to pick between all of the available hotel programs. I guess it doesn't have to be just one. One to marry, to stick with for life. One to date, try it for once and move on. And one to ban from your life forever, to dump. I know Okay. Y'all are prepared, so whoever wants to go first can go first.
What if I want to? I'm going to change my answer from last week when we tried to record this the first time. I'm still going to marry Hyatt. That feels right. I was sure last time. I'm sure this time. My date one is a certain bank's travel portal that offers a little extra increase when you book certain hotels through their portal. And I've gotten a bunch of pretty solid deals by using that feature. So don't always hate on the portal, I'll say. You could date it. And then my dump, I'm gonna go Wyndham.
Fair. So you're gonna use the portal a little bit. Especially the portal that gives you a little bit of a boost in the value of your points. But you'll move on. You'll take Hyatt over that, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
No love for Wyndham. Well, I'm going to change mine up too. I am still going to stick with marrying Hyatt. My date is going to be Marriott. I feel like Hyatt doesn't need an explanation. I get some decent value from Marriott, so that's why I'll date it. But where I'm really going to pivot is on the dump. I'm going to dump Radisson Rewards because I don't even know how to get Radisson Rewards, really, what the purpose of them are. So I feel like I might someday get more value out of Choice or IHG or Wyndham than I ever will with Radisson.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Thanks.
All right. I will also marry Hyatt, except I'm signing a prenup with Hyatt.
Yeah. Are we all in a relationship?
Yeah. No, yeah. We're definitely going the prenup route. If we're making a long-term commitment, then I have some T's and C's that have to be met. Otherwise, deuces. In terms of dating, I'm going with a curveball. I'm going to date Accor Hotels. They've kind of been on the rise recently with some new transfer partners. They're always one of those weird ones. It's always like 2 to 1.5 or 1 to 1.5 or whatever on some of the transfer rates from some of the bigger bank programs. But programs like Built, Rove, which we've talked a little bit about, actually not on the pod, but on our website and in the Facebook group, they've kind of come on strong over the last couple months. Mesa, the homeowner's card, also a transfer partner there. So between those, I'm in the intricacies of Accor. The way you redeem your points is essentially like a statement credit against your hotel stay. So 2,000 points is worth roughly 40 something dollars. I think they are, I think it's actually worth 40 euros. So you have to then, you know, translate it into US dollars. It's not truly fixed, but that one to me is interesting. Of course, there's some really interesting hotels that are under the Accor program. Most notably, probably people would know would be Fairmont, but there are a few other ones and a bunch of independent ones too, some kind of like fun boutique type hotels. So if I'm in the dating world, to me, that's one where I might take a flyer on it.
I think that's fair. I actually used it looking, right? I looked at using Accor. We were thinking, we didn't end up booking it, of going up to like the Banff area.
Yep.
And there's
Lake Louise, one of the, there's the like famous Fairmonts. Yeah, there's two
Fairmonts up there.
Yep.
So I think that's a really good one to date. Who are you dumping?
I don't have a good answer for dumping. At the moment, I feel like I'm temporarily dumping Marriott just because I'm not renewing my titanium status for the first time in like 8 years this year. So currently on hiatus with them, but who knows? I don't know. I like the Radisson play where I'm just throwing away one that I don't know. Maybe I've never stayed at a Radisson. I'm sure I probably have, but it's been on one hand that I can count. I'll copy your throwaway of Radisson or Wyndham. I'll mooch off of both of yours.
Whatever Days In award program.
Days In is. Is that Choice?
It might be.
I don't know.
I think it's Choice.
Doing the live research.
Yeah, literally. No, Days In is Wyndham. I knew that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's already been dumped.
Yeah. It's already we double dump.
But so. Matt, talk to us about is it an active choice to not go for titanium or is just didn't work out?
I'm in like the mid 60s for nights.
Yeah.
Like 62, 63 and nights. It's just not worth it. I could get to 70 and then use my elite choice benefit or whatever they call it for an extra 5 nights, but just not feeling the love at Marriott anymore. Where the upgrades are a lot less. They've completely demolished the breakfast offering in most places. So, yeah, I mean, it's just not really worth it.
Yeah. And then you go to some properties, and because it's a resort, they don't have to offer the same things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, precisely. So they're doing what Hilton did a few years ago. So, we're good. I'm like 1 year away from lifetime platinum, so I'll hit that and then we'll be good. So
yeah, locked in.
Yep. But thankfully I'll have that prenup with Hyatt. So
yeah.
Protected just in case. Yeah.
Got to go for lifetime globalist now.
Yeah.
All right. Round two. The one that y'all didn't get last time.
Yeah. Here we go.
Here's the situation. You're on a 12-hour flight in economy. You know, let's put us down to earth here.
That ain't happening.
you're on a 12-hour flight in economy, and you have to sit next to one of three people. You have to sit next to the armrest hog, the crying baby, or the chatty neighbor. So which one are you going to marry, which means every single flight you take from here on out, they're going to be next to you? Who are you going to date, which means sometimes they'll be next to you? And which one are you going to dump, meaning you will never have them next to you?
Okay, I'll take the armrest hog because I always take an aisle seat. So if in this hypothetical situation about being in 12 hours in economy, I'll be on the aisle, so I'll at least have one. So that's fine. I will date the chatty Kathy, or sorry, whatever you called it. Sorry, Kathy's out there in the world.
Yeah.
I mean to disparage you. That's just what came to mind. The chatty person. I'll put headphones in just be nice and rude, but they can still talk. I just won't listen to them. And then absolutely not to the just screaming baby. I've had a couple of those, and they've been real tough. So if I can voluntarily avoid them, those situations, then I certainly would.
I'm with Matt on the armrest situation. I'm an aisle person, so that's an easy marry for me. I'm going to date the baby. I feel like maybe I should rephrase that.
That's a weird thing to say, Emily. It's a weird thing to say on a live, well, I guess not a live podcast. We could edit it out, but we're not going to.
The crying baby, mostly because, again, headphones. And I'm not being rude to the baby. I'm just listening to my own stuff. And then I'm dumping the chatty person. Or my husband will be in the middle seat and he can sit next to the chatty person because they can chat together.
I was going
to
say, then then there'll just be an explosion of chattiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so not that's fair. I don't have that card to play.
Yep. Chatty buffer. Oh,
man, I'm going to marry the chatty person. I don't mind chatty people on airplanes. Like, if I want to talk to them, I will. If not, I'll throw on headphones. I'll date the armrest hog, like, same as y'all. I'm an aisle seat person, so it's not that big of a deal for me. And sorry, all of the babies out there listening, but you're getting dumped as well. So I think we all had different answers there.
Mm, yeah.
Emily was dating the baby, and I certainly wasn't doing that.
Yeah, that's
so
true, yeah.
That's the only one that I remember.
That is the important takeaway, is that Emily chose to date the baby.
I can see the cold open on this episode now.
Dating babies?
With that
out of the way, let's talk about travel emergencies, as if, you know.
Dating a baby is a travel emergency, potentially.
Yeah.
Before we get into how to prep and how to use and how to consider your points in case of a travel emergency, what counts as a travel emergency? You know, there's some easy ones that come up, such as trip interruption due to weather, cancellations, you accidentally booked the wrong hotel nights. I know that I've done that actually recently.
Same.
Trip cancellations. What else? What else counts as a travel emergency?
Medical emergencies are a good one. Like, sometimes family emergencies. Those are last minute ones that come up. What else? I mean, we just recently suffered through the government shutdown, which caused a lot of travel emergencies for people too. So I'm sure this is relatively top of mind, although it'll be a few months once this is published.
Sometimes needing to get out of my house constitutes a travel emergency, because I'll just literally be like, I'm going somewhere today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
To me, that's an emergency.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of like burnout, just fed up, ready to go.
Really, anything that disturbs your travel logistics, I think, is probably a good way of putting it.
I'd say either that, or is very like last minute type thing.
Yeah.
I need to be in this place ASAP. Yeah. How can I get there?
Yeah.
So kind of two different angles.
It's are you having an emergency on your trip, or are you needing to travel because of an emergency?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know about y'all. Probably my favorite example of a travel emergency where points really came in handy for me was, I live in Houston. Every now and then we get hurricanes. Florida seems to have been taking the brunt of them for us recently. But there was one time when I was here during a hurricane, and if you ever watch people leaving the fourth largest metropolitan area in the U.S. during a hurricane, that without everyone trying to leave, it takes 2 hours to drive across. I wasn't super enthusiastic about trying to drive my way out. In fact, you know, as depressing as it might be, I think it was Hurricane Harvey. It might have been Rita, where more people, unfortunately, were injured or passed away because they got stuck trying to leave the city than people who stay, you know, whether they ran out of gas, had a vehicle breakdown, and then got stuck in their vehicle instead of at home.
And this is depressing. Can we go back to dating babies?
It's not better.
If you're looking for a fun episode, like the takeaway from this episode is that like points aren't always just for fun stuff. They can come in handy in other situations. And in my case, I used them to book a flight. Flights were fairly expensive. It was last minute, but used some Alaska miles to book a flight on American Airlines to get out instead of trying to figure out when to drive or to stay. It was just cool. I'll just fly up to Dallas and go hang out with some family up there.
Yeah.
So that was one of my most memorable uses of points during an emergency. So it wasn't so much that the travel had stuff going wrong as it was.
Yeah.
You know, weather, a major hurricane. Emergency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cash prices were high? Were the points prices high too? Or did you end up getting like a decent value? Or was that just not even on your mind at all?
I do remember that I got a decent value, but that really wasn't on my mind. And that's my approach, whether it's leaving because of an emergency or, you know, if I'm stuck somewhere because my flight home got canceled. When in an emergency, the value that I'm getting for points is the lowest priority. And that's what I would encourage people. Like, you can always earn more points. You know, if you have significant delays and you've got to be home from work and you're out of PTO and your boss isn't as nice as Matt is, then
get back to work.
You know, it's a lot easier to earn more points than go and find another job or something. So, like during emergencies, the value of the points, I would encourage you to not even really worry about those. You can always earn them back.
One of my, I actually had a few that have hit me recently, but I was traveling from Denver to New York for a wedding and I was flying Southwest and I could see that all the earlier flights that day had been canceled. I think this was like the beginning of the government shutdown. So they were starting to close the airspace over New York. And I was like, I can't risk not making this flight. I'm in the wedding. If I mess this up, I'm actually sabotaging somebody's day. Although I think they would have been okay without me, but you know, didn't want to risk it.
Especially once they learned that you date babies.
Yeah, I should have been uninvited from the get-go. I called Southwest to try and see if like there was anything they could do or whether they could tell me how likely it was that my flight was going to get out, but they couldn't. So instead, I transferred some points over to United to book a backup flight for the next day, which like obviously you have to have the spare points to be able to do that. But for me, I know I'll use those United points anyway because the transfer's irreversible. But it's just like being in Denver, it's a hub for United, so I'm gonna use those eventually. To me, it was worth the transfer and the possibility of making it out on my original flight to do that. And I ended up almost forgetting to cancel the second flight, in which case I would have actually wasted the miles. But I remember like landing in New York at 1 a.m. and getting ready to go to sleep after I'd gotten to my bed for the night and then being like, oh my God, better cancel the second flight that I'm definitely not taking out of Denver now. But yeah, for me, same thing. Like, I was not worried about how much value I was going to get out of the points. I was worried about not being there for my friend on her wedding day.
It's like you can always earn more points. In a perfect world, your friend only has one wedding.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Matt, is yours a butter emergency?
No, I can't think of any time I've really had a travel emergency.
No, come on.
The only times have literally been when I just like driving to the airport and forgot that the flight got changed 3 months before, but I, for whatever reason, my trip hadn't updated. So I was literally going to the airport for a flight that either didn't exist or had taken off earlier. So I had to book a flight on the way to the airport. Done that before, but like that kind of consists of it. I've been, I knock on wood. I doubt y'all could hear that, but I was knocking.
I actually could. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
And Matt, yeah. All right. Well, I guess I have to tell Matt's story then for everyone.
Ooh.
It's kind of a group story, but
is this a real life? Like, did this happen?
Yes.
I hope.
Well, this will be great. I have no clue what this is about.
Yeah. I'm calling it Matt's because, like, when we travel together for work, Matt is like the travel parent to all of us. He's the go. We're getting through security and we're getting through without any problems.
Matt's always renting the biggest SUV you can find.
Absolutely.
So that we can all fit together.
Gotta love the national executive lane or whatever it's called.
And so one time we were in upstate New York for work.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we had a meetup in New York City the next day. There was
Where were we? Buffalo or something? Like western, like the as far west as you could go.
Finger Lakes, right. Yeah. Right. Near Ithaca,
And our flight, basically, I think because of weather, because it was like fall or something, all of the flights between our airport in New York City were getting canceled.
The flights, I think there were like three a day or something.
Yeah. So there really weren't backup options. And without saying a beat, Matt's like, oh, I used some of the company points to book a rental car through the portal. So we're going to go pick up this rental car. It's a one way and we're going to drive to New York City. It's only about 9 hours.
Oh,
and
we're going to drive. It's not 9 hours.
I don't remember
like
how long it was. 5 hours, whatever.
And by that, you mean I already had a reservation and I just didn't turn the car in and I called and was like, hey, we're dropping this off in New York City, not Ithaca or wherever the heck we were.
Yeah. And when I say we're driving, I mean, Matt drove the whole way, which was fine.
That's what I do. I know my role here.
Yeah. Yeah. Travel daddy took care of us.
Jesus Christ.
Oh boy.
And sure enough, he got us there. So, you know, like these emergencies that Matt conveniently forgets, which allows for me to call him travel daddy on a podcast.
Not again.
Yeah, please, not again. Just bleep that one out, please. That did spark my memory. It activated, and I did remember one emergency we had. So I can tell that story if you'd like.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were in Turks and Caicos for one of my friend's 40th birthday parties. There was like, I don't know, six or seven couples, four or five of us were all flying back on the same flight from Turks to Charlotte. We were at the airport in the line to get into security. I think our flight had already been delayed once or twice. And so like we stayed at the hotel longer because I was like, yeah, we're good. They haven't even left Charlotte yet. So we don't have to leave for the 15-minute drive to the airport. Like we're good. Another Mai Tai, please. So we had gotten to the airport and the inbound flight got canceled. You know, two of the people were with our doctors. They had patients coming in the next morning, like maybe procedures, I don't know. Stress levels
doctor
high.
Stuff.
Yeah, that doctor stuff, whatever. Stress levels amongst the group were high. And I was literally like, all right, we're good. So I called the hotel and had them like put a block on however many rooms for people we had where we had just checked out. And then actually before that, I asked everybody to let me know what credit card they had booked their flights with. Mm. And most had used cards with travel protection. So I said, all right, we're good. Everybody's got $500 or $1,000 or whatever the number was, I forget. So then I called the hotel and was like, hey, we'd like six or eight rooms. We'll pay literally up to whatever, $1,000 a month, a night. Cause I think I forget the dollar amounts, but I was literally like, hey, it'll be like $100 less than your rate is, but I'm booking six rooms for one night. We will pay, I literally was like negotiate with them. They were like, okay, that's fine. So we all went back to the hotel, came back the next morning, got to fly home. They didn't actually cancel the flight. Basically, we would have had to stay at the airport for another like hour or two. And then most people obviously like, you know, if they were trying to get rebooked on another flight, would have done it at the little American Airlines counter in Turks. Yeah. And if you've ever been there, you know, it's not a huge airport with many counters and stuff. But I was like, nah, I got this. Let's go back to the beach. Yeah. We're good.
Yeah.
That's get the best role to play in that situation. Yeah. Is like you set the energy for the rest of the group.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Because then everybody, when we got home, I was like, I sent everybody an email. Here's the 5 steps you need to do to file your claim. You'll have your check in whatever, 10 days. It all worked out. And I was everybody's hero. It was perfect.
Yeah. Oh. Have you filled one of those out before, Travis, too? Have you used the trip delay benefits? Yeah.
I have. I've used the trip delay. I've used the rental car insurance. And I've always, knock on wood like Matt, I'm 100% on getting my claims approved.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've used it before too. And I think the nice thing is to try and always remember which card you've used to book and always pick the one that has the most beneficial trip delay insurance.
Not because necessarily the best earn.
Right. Not the best earn. Like usually that's my first concern when I'm booking a trip is which card has the best protections. And they're not all created equal. Some of them, the time that your trip has to be delayed for is much longer than others, or like the value that you can submit as a claim is much higher than others. So it's important to compare.
Some of them, sorry to interrupt, some of them are the benefit is per person and some of it is for the entire group. So some of it might mean you get, if you're a group of four, you might get $500 times four, whereas another card literally might be, no, it's $500 regardless of the number of people. So that could make a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah. So read those T's and C's. Read the prenup, I guess, that Matt's got with Hyatt.
Yeah. And one of the nice things that Matt and team added into my 10X in the redemption tracker is you can actually choose which card you use to pay taxes and fees or whatever with. Really nice. So that, because I know every time I've had to submit a claim in the past, it's...
You have to go digging for receipts.
Digging for receipts and then the last four numbers. Then it's, okay, well, which card is that? And like, it's nice to just be able to quickly go to my redemption and see, like, when you don't need it, you don't need it. But those times when you do, having that organization to use those card insurance benefits, whether that's, you know, your primary rental car insurance, lost luggage, travel delay, trip cancellation, interruption, emergency evacuation. Some of them have, like, there's enough stress going on with it. So knowing which card you used so you can figure out which benefits you have and how to apply quickly is really nice, especially when the rental car company starts hounding you for their money because you backed their car into a pole. And
sounds like this is coming from experience.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe. And you keep telling them, I need you to give me this document because the insurance company requested it. But it's a small thing that you might be wondering, why do I need to put this there? Most of the time, hopefully you'll never need it. But if you do, trust me, it's really nice to have. Yeah. Or like in Matt's case on that trip, they could have easily gone and looked in their redemption tracker for which card they used and quickly known, okay, we use card ABC. Let me look up the benefits for that card really, really simply.
Yeah. And then it just totally changes the rest of your day from panic rebooking things to like, okay, at least I know I have this budget to kind of change the course of my travel for the next few hours. And then you can go have a Mai Tai on the beach instead.
I was gonna say, we were literally back on the beach within an hour.
Yeah.
Ordering more drinks. It was perfect.
Yeah, and you're not standing in line at the American Airlines ticket counter trying to negotiate. And that's honestly, that's the most stressful part, is thinking like you only have one option. Because for most people, if you book a flight on American that gets canceled, your immediate go-to is like, I'm just going to rebook on that. But with Points and Miles, it opens up such a whole other world of options to rebook. Might not be the same value, but at that point, who cares? Like, you can kind of pick and choose, shop around, and save your travel rather than just standing in line with a bunch of other people or waiting online on the phone to try and fix something that might not get resolved for a few days.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. like waiting in line for your turn versus waiting on hold for your turn. And like when you're on hold, be looking up other options. Oh, it's just the right way to do it.
Yeah. Do everything all at once.
Yeah.
You have to advocate for yourself for sure, and not, hey, what are my options? No, it's, I've done the research, I can't book this online, whatever. You get, you're on the phone, you tell the agent, hey, I want you to do this, 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 and this, put me on this flight, whatever. Not, hey, what are my options? You know, obviously that's going to happen in some instances, but you'll have much better success a lot of this time if you're like, hey, this flight was canceled, I need you to put me on this, this, or this, whatever. Helps everybody out.
Do either of you have what you would consider a points emergency fund?
I don't, but part of that is just because I keep a big stash of flexible points and most of those transfer instantly or as close to instantly as possible. So like kind of enough within the programs that I would use. Alaska's probably the only one, but I keep a stash in there, obviously, just because there's not really many options for transferring those in. But yeah, otherwise I feel pretty confident that at a moment's notice I could more or less get a flight anywhere in the world that I need with kind of the points I have.
I'm kind of the same. I don't have any points inherently earmarked or set aside for an emergency. But this is one of the reasons why I don't like to transfer points outside of flexible currencies until I'm ready to redeem. So that way my balance, like my primary points balance, is virtually all in flexible points. And what that means is if there is an emergency, I know that I've got points, whether it's to transfer them to a partner or kind of from Emily's date with a travel portal. I sensed a little bit of your anxiety there on that one. You know, like, having them with a flexible points that you can book through a travel portal, sometimes during a travel emergency, using the portal instead of hunting for award availability across different airlines or hotels or whatever it is, it's just plug it in, find whatever option works for you, is sometimes the best peace of mind. So that's the strategy that I take, is keep most of my points flexible. So that way, in case of an emergency, I can transfer them or book something through a portal.
Yeah. I'm probably the same, but I first like to try and use my orphaned points.
Sure.
If I'm in some kind of travel emergency or trying to book something last minute, like I'll look for something that's already in a program. That way I'm not transferring more. Obviously, in the scenario I described in the beginning, I was willing to sacrifice those transferred points if I needed to, but it's nice. Like, I'm pretty sure we've talked about Travis's bank of Virgin Atlantic miles that you've got. Like, if you were in a pinch, like, I might try and use those first, but ultimately it's whatever is available and you can book before somebody else does.
Yeah. Or my now newly orphaned Air Canada miles again.
I've had 80,000 airplane miles sitting for about 18 months, and I still haven't been able to use them yet.
I mean, not
that they're hard to use, just it hasn't lined up availability or routing or whatever for any sort of stuff in the meantime. So I'm going to use them.
260,000 orphaned from the pandemic. I finally used them, and literally today, was looking to book a return flight from Australia next year, and the only option I found in business class so far is Air India. And it's like, okay, transferred to Air Canada, and then it aired out and the award availability disappeared. So now I have 115,000 Air Canada points orphaned yet again. So,
but that's your travel emergency fund now.
That's my travel emergency fund, which if I don't find any other availability for this return, somehow I'll have to use them for that, maybe.
I'll just tell you, that was a blessing in disguise, not having to fly Air India all the way home.
It's the A350 at least. So
at least it is the new one. Okay.
Yeah.
Touche. This is not a knock on Air India. Just it's a tough product, except for the A350. So
yeah. And I haven't tried it, so I figured, why not?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Apparently not. And I could have been flying, this is a whole diversion, I could have been flying Qantas back.
Yeah. Because
I got an Well, I'm playing it there.
Oh, okay.
And so the friends I'm going on the trip with, I texted them. And one of them was like, oh, I didn't need a flight there, but I needed a flight back. So I booked that. And I, of course, did not look at the return options first. And there was one seat. So he got the return one. And I was like, dang, ooh, that would have been nice.
You're a good friend.
I try to be.
You may not have intended to be a good friend, but you were a good friend.
So if you're going to transfer them, what programs stand out to you? You know, obviously booking through the portal is an easy way to handle things during an emergency. And obviously getting the best value shouldn't be your highest priority. But let's face it, we can say that all we want in a travel emergency, like unless it's a like life or death emergency.
Yeah.
If it's an inconvenienced emergency, we're virtually all going to be like, okay, I found this availability. Now, who do I transfer the points to? Mm-hmm. So if you're in a travel emergency and needing to make a last minute redemption, what programs do you look at to transfer points to?
I'm going to make a call that I don't think I would normally make, but Delta is pretty good with last minute availability for cheap points wise. I just helped my brother book a last minute flight. I don't know that I'd call it a travel emergency. I just wanted him to stay a couple extra days. but he didn't even have to transfer points. He had 6,000 points just sitting in his Delta account, and the flight was 4,000 points. So
that's awesome. Like,
that was pretty sweet. So, I mean, obviously it depends where you're traveling to, but their last minute availability can be pretty decent.
Especially domestically.
Yeah.
I think last minute is the case for pretty much all programs. You know, especially if it's last minute, you know, 6 hours before flight, they obviously have algorithms that look at this and like, all right, we don't really want that many seats going out empty. So, you know, liquidation sale, come on in, whatever it might be. That often happens. So that can be a heck of a hard time for most people to do planning wise with logistics, kids, childcare, whatever it might be, vacation time, etc. But some of your best options can literally open up just hours before departure. So roll the dice if you're feeling like a gambling person.
One thing I would caution you during an emergency, if you're transferring points, only transfer to a, y'all might disagree, but I would encourage anyone, only transfer to a program that you have transferred to before, that you're familiar with, that you know transfers instantly. Because if you're trying to transfer to a Singapore or an ANA where the transfer sometimes can take 24 plus hours, or honestly, even in Emirates, I've seen a lot of times when people transfer for the first time to Emirates and you have to call in and do some verification, and it's not impossible, it just adds that stress onto things. So if you really are in a emergency where you're needing to do something last minute, that's not the time to be saying, well, booking this through Air Canada costs 10,000 points, but Singapore will only charge 7,500. So let me save 2,500 points by transferring to Singapore instead. No, transfer the extra 2,500 to Air Canada because you're familiar with it. Your account is more established and you know that those transfers typically are instant because you're trying to solve an instant problem, not one that you really have the luxury of time to be solving.
And on a similar note too, don't do a test transfer even in your time of need and emergency. Because from a similar standpoint, I can see how people think it makes sense to do that. Like, oh, well, especially if it's kind of a first time, let's like really make sure this is going to work. More often than not, that sends off like fraud signals to the program that will hold your second transfer a lot of times, not always. I've had both happen to me. Not because I'm testing, but mostly because I can't do simple math and I don't transfer enough points. and so I need to throw another 2,000 or something and then it gets held up for a few hours. But yeah, if you're literally trying to book a flight for like 4 hours from now and you book two transfers and the second one doesn't show up, you might find yourself hard pressed to be able to book the flight in the way you want it to. So don't do that.
Very good call out. Maybe a last question I have for y'all. We talked a little bit about travel insurance that comes with a credit card. Do you all rely on that 100%? Do you do travel insurance plans? Like, what's your approach there and why? I know for me, I always purchase a separate annual travel insurance policy. I've never had to use it, but in my emotional mind, if I need to, I feel more likely that I'll get paid out through that than from the credit card benefit, even though I've always had my credit card benefit claims paid. So I have no reason to believe otherwise. But like an annual travel plan, I purchase through, we have an affiliate with Squaremouth. So I just go through there to find an annual plan. It's usually only $200 or $300 for the year to get a sufficient enough plan. It just gives me a little extra peace of mind with the amount of travel that I'm doing, at least.
I can't say that I have ever done that. And I will be the third person to knock on wood today, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I guess I haven't felt like I've been in a position where I needed it or couldn't rely on other resources that I have, whether that's the cards, travel insurance, or whether that's just a stash of points to be able to kind of like fix things and piece together some kind of solution. Obviously, like the medical side of travel insurance, yeah, that's definitely something to look into that I never have before. But for other people out there, yeah, don't follow my lead on that.
I'm in the same boat as Emily. Probably should look into it more, especially on the medical side. Just, I mean, the reality is medicine in most other countries around the world is a fraction of what it costs here. So like, you fall and break an arm in, I don't know, Prague or something, like, no, this is just a complete hypothetical. I don't actually know what their medical costs there are, but like, more often than not, your x-ray is going to be like $100. You might get a cast. Like, what? Like, it's literally not going to cost that much to have some of the stuff taken care of. Like, where here, that would literally be like thousands and thousands of dollars. So it may sound cavalier to say like, what, you don't have medical coverage outside the U.S., you know, other than what, you know, some of the credit card protections are, and then there is some coverage that from U.S. health insurance on many plans, not all of them, of course, but like there, we're not, I'm not just completely like flying blind out there with nothing. But when you understand that some of the medical costs around the world are a fraction of what they are here, it should not be as intimidating, I think, in most cases for people than it is just based on what we have here. So all that to say, I'm kind of like you, Emily. I don't have it on the medical side, other than just like the basic coverage that credit cards and our insurance policy has. On the sort of travel side, I rely almost exclusively on credit card protections. That and just knowing I can kind of get myself anywhere I need to be, you know, within say 24 hours or 48 hours, whatever, just from knowledge and know-how and healthy point stash. So like, again, that might sound crazy and rebellious and like, what, you're insane to most people, but like, I don't lose any sleep over it. I feel pretty good about it. Oh.
Now that I know Travis has it, though, maybe I'll lose sleep over it.
I'm surprised. Whoa. Mr. 300 feet underwater in caves is even, yeah, insurable.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have my dive insurance, so I also add the travel insurance for any additional like emergency evacuation. Like when I was in the Marshall Islands, I was like, you know, if I need to get medically evacuated to get health care because of an emergency, that's a long way to go.
That's a little bit story.
Different than breaking my arm in Prague.
Yeah. I mean, if I was going to go, you know, to a more remote location, you know, whether it's on, I mean, I would say maybe safari or, you know, places in like South America or, you know, just more remote.
Or Antarctica.
Stuff. Antarctica, yeah. For sure. Like, no, definitely would grab some specific trip-based insurance for some of that type stuff to cover some of those outliers that contradict my earlier claim about, you know, medical costs. Like literally getting medevac from the middle of the jungle is not going to be a few $100. So like,
right.
That's a scenario where it makes perfect sense to get like a trip type coverage specific to that.
The one thing, regardless of credit card insurance or a paid travel insurance plan, that you should know is banks might say points have a value and issue you a 1099 for referrals. Insurance companies, they talk in cash and dollars. So those insurance policies are not going to reimburse you for the points that you spent on a trip. So don't think that if you have a medical emergency and have to cancel a trip because of it, and it should be covered under your travel policy, and the cash trip was $5,000, but you redeemed 150,000 points, guess what? Unfortunately, you're not getting anything.
The good news is almost all scenarios, points redemptions are refundable, cancelable and refundable.
Yeah.
So there are a few, obviously, outliers or maybe some fees you have to pay, but generally speaking, you can get those points back, especially if you haven't taken the trip.
Yeah. So just be aware of that if you're expecting any travel insurances to cover the points that you spent on a trip. That's a no-go, unfortunately. That would be nice, though.
Just the $5.60 taxes and fees.
Yeah.
Yeah, the policy costs $12.
Here's your refund.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I think one other thing that can be helpful in kind of a travel emergency situation is some of these point aggregator tools, like we've talked about before, Seats.arrow, especially Seats.arrow for last minute stuff. It can give you a little peace of mind because it just like speeds up your award search process. That makes it that much faster to get you rebooked on something if you need to. Saves you from having to search the specific every single award program. Obviously, you want to verify that it is real before you transfer points. But I think having something that just makes things a little quicker so you can be faster than the next person who's trying to rebook can be helpful.
Yeah, that's a great call out. So anyone else, anything else to add about travel emergencies?
I think the biggest thing I've just kind of seen and experienced from years of just sort of watching it, I've had a few obviously myself, but not, I've kind of been lucky. I think the biggest thing is just keep moving. Like if you're flying across an ocean or one state over, and you have to kind of reroute because your planes have gotten interrupted or whatever, just keep getting as close to you can as your final destination. You know, you might cross the ocean and have a 3-hour drive home instead of waiting on that next connection for that short little leg flight. And that's fine. That's obviously not ideal, but you've flown from Europe to the US and you might have to drive for that last segment versus your connecting flight or whatever the scenario might be. I think the best piece of advice I've seen people give and agree with 100% is just to keep moving in times of duress as much as you can.
Yeah. It also just helps that stress level of it as well, because you're at least making progress. You might not be home yet, but it's way better than just waiting for someone else to fix it for you.
Yep. Yep.
Oh. Yeah. I think one other thing I would say as well is, unless you are working with like a professional travel agent whose job it is to rebook you, you're always going to be like the best advocate for yourself. And it's better to be proactive and take steps into your own hands rather than like waiting on somebody else to try and fix it for you, whether that's like through a portal that you booked through or, you know, like waiting online to get something done. The more you can kind of advocate for yourself and take things into your own hands, the better off you'll be.
One of the hardest things for me to look at, especially when I'm traveling, is you'll be going through an airport and you'll see the airline has the desk out, you know, in the middle of their terminal or whatever, and clearly a flight got canceled or whatever, and there's 60 people online and they're all just hanging out waiting for their turn. Every time I'm like, God, I just want to go over them. They're like, yo, get to work, like start doing your, like, they're not going to help you as much as you can help yourself. And by the time you're 60th line, by the time you get to the front of the line, you are literally dealing with whatever the scraps are, because the 55 people in front of you, whatever it is, beat you to the punch kind of thing. Like that is almost like a death sentence is a little harsh to say, but like, it is a very stiff penalty for not, you know, trying to be proactive in a situation like that.
Yeah. And not to mention, if you're in a foreign country, the language barrier might make it even harder.
Yep, 100%.
You know, and you can call a U.S. number to try to accommodate you and hopefully get something done faster and less stressful.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap this up and hopefully wrap up all travel emergencies.
Yep.
And
this will be putting a bow on it. There will be no more after this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never again
in the history of the world.
I hope you never need any of the advice that we share in this episode. Agreed. But the unfortunate nature is the more you travel, the more likely it is that something's going to catch up to you.
It's just probability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt will do the math and we'll include the specific math
behind
that in the show notes.
Yes.
Sure, I will.
But while you don't have to have a specific plan for how to handle every emergency, the key is understanding how points and miles, different travel programs, etc., can help you be prepared a bit more passively, so that way when they come up, you're better equipped to solve the problems without just having to throw a bunch of money at it, which no one really wants to be doing. And if you've ever looked at last minute flights, they are notoriously known for being a little pricey. So having your stash of points, understanding your insurances, all of these things go a good way to have an arsenal that you can deploy in case a travel emergency comes up, whether it's emergency during your travel or an emergency that requires you to travel.
We should circle back to the game you played earlier and have our listeners, if they're watching on YouTube, chime off in the comments about who they would marry, date, or dump.
Yeah.
With the airline and hotel programs. I had to remember the names that we were using.
Right.
For this version.
There you go. Yeah. Let's end the sad emergency travel planning. And like Matt said, let us know in the comments who you're going to marry, date, and dump between hotel programs and the passenger next to you on the 12-hour economy seat, whether it's the armrest hog, the crying baby that Emily's dating, or the chatty neighbor. You thought it was done. You thought it was done, but we had to bring it up one
call
last
it back
time.
One more time. Yep.
Yeah. So, well, for someday I'll get better at figuring out how to do these outros, but for now, for Emily, Matt, and myself, presumably, I'm just presuming for them that they're okay with me doing this.
We're referring to ourselves essentially in the third person now. It's time to wrap.
Yeah.
We got to go.
So, like, subscribe, follow, Facebook group, all
do
of
the
that
things.
Jazz.
Yeah.
Do the things. And we'll catch you next time.